You're listening to County Conversations, a podcast brought to you by the New York State Association of Counties. This episode is a special edition on the COVID-19 public health emergency, which features an excerpt from our daily county leader conference call discussing local, state, and federal response.
Today, most of the work of the association centered on the state budget and the staff. We will provide an update on the budget in a few minutes. We're continuing to analyze those documents as we speak, as the State Assembly remains in session right now. Voting on those bills, the State Senate, as we understand it, has adjourned, approving their work. Reminder, our website is nysac.org/COVID-19. We use a map just to show the numbers generically of the cases that have been recorded by the New York State Department of Health. That's just to show the movement in the state. There is a lot of, I won't call it debate, but there's a real difference of opinion of posting specific information by town, by zip code. I really would encourage that is truly a local decision. There is no wrong answer to that. If your county has made a decision that it's not productive to post that by zip code, by town, simply letting the state and the federal government record those numbers, that is a perfectly rational and reasonable decision, as individuals could interpret, well, it's not in my town. Why should I bother adhering to these best practices, staying at home, not interacting, continuing to gather at places with other people, and not necessarily following the rules? On the other hand, the counties that have posted it by town have a legitimate public health reason to do that in the instances of spreading a further imminent public health threat. So it does cut both way. We get a lot of requests. What's the right thing to do? What are we allowed to do? What are we not allowed to do? We're not allowed to release information that would violate the Health Insurance Portability and Protection Act, HIPAA, requirements, which detail would lend itself towards identifying an individual's medical test or health care. You're not allowed to release that data. Local health departments are given some exceptions for that. We've talked about that to first responders and law enforcement. But beyond that, it is discretionary to the release of the testing information. So I did want to say that. We get a lot of questions about that. I just wanted to make sure that there is no right or wrong answer in that regard. Today we posted more frequently asked questions that we've gotten from you all and from the governor responding back. We are posting that on our website. We've launched the Take 5 for NY campaign. Again, a campaign to encourage the power of positivity. We talked about General Colin Powell talking about the power of positive thinking is a force multiplier. And so this Take 5 NY campaign was really born in the spirit and the thinking of what General Colin Powell was talking about. So we've launched that campaign. We've got many counties that are launching this. Allegheny, Yates, and Green have looked into using it and are taking advantage of some of the material that we put out there. I wanted to talk for a minute about the Economic Impact Advisory Councils. We've talked about this. Trying to monitor and work through the public health crisis, which is first and foremost. At the same time, we have an overlay of economic activity, a stimulus package coming from the United States government, federal government, to the state, to the counties, FMAP, Medicaid matching percentages. How will the counties survive with such a revenue impact? What is that revenue impact? More importantly, what will my community look like when the lights go back on, when the orders to remain home are lifted? What will remain of my community? And I think by using employees or community college president or another entity that you might work with who could help run economic analysis in your county, you could begin this process of documenting the economic impact in your county. You need proof. You need to document it. You need to quantify the economic impact. What did my county of Oneida County look like before COVID-19, this time last year, and June or July of 2020? What were the indicators? What was the revenue? What was produced? What was the income, the gross domestic product that was produced out of Oneida County or any of your counties, and begin to document it? We've talked about Onondaga. We've talked about Oneida, Broome, and Nassau, who have done surveys in this regard. If you want a survey for your local business community or your chamber in Allegheny County or Niagara County or any of your counties, we can give you, by asking one of the counties that is using a survey instrument, how they're surveying their community, and we can get that to you. Just please send us an email to coronavirus@nysac.org and ask us to send you a copy of an economic impact survey. I just want to talk briefly about what happened in Nassau County. The county had put out a 10-minute survey, very similar to Oneida County, Onondaga, surveying. Just some results from Nassau, 1,431 responses already. 90% of that 1,500 responses were from small businesses of less than 25 employees, and that's going to be the same in your community. The respondents revealed that half have laid off employees, the rest claiming the layoffs are coming. More than half said they will not make a profit in 2020. 80% said they'll need loans to operate through 2020. Counties can be creative entities to help address these small business loans, working with the federal government, working with the state of New York, working within your own assets to try to assist the small business community in your community. And I think these advisory councils that you could put together could help create a portrait of the county, again, comparing circumstances a year ago, doing some economic modeling and so forth, and position yourself. And I think it's imperative that you do this, because these businesses, these small businesses, this community is the work, the backbone, and the foundational component of our society within our county borders. So I did want to continue to encourage you to do that as we work through it. It'll be important for stimulus-related activity at the federal government. It'll be important for state government economic impact. It'll be important should the federal government do a fourth stimulus bill to offset lost revenues. You will already be in a position by working on that right now, should the Congress enact a fourth stimulus. The Senate Majority Leader indicating right now that is not on his radar. The Speaker of the House of Representatives saying we should do it. So remains to be seen. That could take place sometime in May if we see more and more states begin to be fragile in their economy, impacted by the lost revenues. We could likely see a fourth stimulus package. We keep getting questions about the open meetings law. We did send a question up to the governor's office whether or not a transcript needs to be posted for a board meeting or an open meeting that was done by video conference. And we get questions about, does it have to be a literal transcription of the meeting? I answered no last night, and we do have a response from the Department of State, the Committee on Open Government. Does transcribe mean the entire county public meeting must be transcribed? And if so, when and by whom? The answer to that was the transcript does not need to be done by a stenographer or a professional transcriptionist. So, again, capturing the meeting minutes, posting it for a telephonic conversation will suffice here. And we are waiting a question on the video, whether or not there needs to be a transcript of that video. We do not think there needs to be. The governor, onto his press conference today, announced approaching 100,000 cases. We probably have 100,000 right now. Again, another 9,000 from the day before. Every county now has at least one case. Nassau and Suffolk County have 1,000 new cases in each county from the day before. So you can see the spread in the downstate region and in New York City, approximately 51,809, approaching 52,000 in the city of New York. 1,300 hospitalized, 3,000 in ICU. We've talked about this, the impact in the healthcare system. The governor talking a lot about the capacity again, working towards that apex, talking about the system of how to shift hospital staff from upstate to downstate. He has begun to do that, to rotate nurses, doctors, technicians from upstate to the downstate region to address fatigue in the downstate area. And he is also working with the different construction of different temporary hospitals in Brooklyn at the Brooklyn Cruise Terminal to add another 750 beds, and in Staten Island at an OMH state facility at South Beach, and trying to work towards a COVID-only hospital to open next week. He's directed all hospitals to contribute PPE to a central stockpile so the state could distribute that on need. And in the absence of the State Defense Authorization Act, the state is looking to manufacturers to step up and create new supplies. He's given several emails and websites for folks to submit their supplies, how they could manufacture these supplies and whatnot. Talked about the number of ventilators that he has in stockpile right now. Governor indicating he has 6 days' supply of ventilators at this present time. He explained splitting ventilator tubes, and he explained the acquisition of some BiPAP machines that are less than a full ventilator, but nonetheless could help individuals who are in not as severe condition to assist with breathing. And he announced that he's released 400 ventilators to Long Island and Westchester County hospitals last night. Some questions and answers of the governor today. He was asked about curfews. He was asked about a municipality in Orange County. If they wanted to impose a curfew, would he allow it? I think it was a city in Orange County. If he would allow it, he said he would, depending on the circumstance and the nature of the request and the circumstances surrounding the request. We do have a few questions from that, from the counties from time to time. Could they impose a curfew? Right now, we cannot do it. We could do it on our own up to the point where he took our authority away. So now we would need state permission to impose a curfew. A couple other questions about when does he think the ventilators would come in and so forth. But that was pretty much it for the governor's press conference. He did mention today that personal protective equipment supplies will be sent to every county. The amount will vary by need and population, and that the regional reps are contacting you right now about supply distribution, and the State Office of Emergency Management is also communicating with your county Office of Emergency Management. The governor talked about an ICME projection tool that many firms are trying to project when we will be hit with an apex. He referenced a White House briefing model, which has several projections, and the models are pointing for April 15 as a peak day for hospital use in the downstate New York region, with it coming around the rest of the state shortly thereafter. There is a tool that you could use for yourself. It's called COVID-19.healthdata.org. And that is a tool that's used for modeling, and you could refer to that and and see the various modeling and time frame that you will see of when this potential apex could hit. So that's pretty much the report to you tonight on the COVID-19, how we think we'll handle these calls on a go-forward basis, and we continue to think that sharing best practices with local government leaders is the best thing, bringing in some speakers, perhaps a conversation with Senator Schumer about the federal stimulus provisions, getting a more in-depth dive into those federal statutes, the three federal bills, we think would be very helpful. And so we hope to have that information to you as we go through the weeks. If you have particular questions that you want or presentations that you want us to ask, we wanted to bring in the New York State Office of Emergency Management to talk about guidelines for applying to FEMA. We wanted to bring in Region 2 FEMA administrators. We wanted to bring in other county officials to talk about how they're working on this. We were hoping to have the Erie County Executive Mark Poloncarz speak tonight, but his schedule could not permit that. So we will be bringing in these speakers to you, and I'll continue to try to get information to you as best we can to assist us as we go through this, both on the public health side and on the economic impact side, including the federal government and the three new stimulus bills that they put together. We are trying to get an answer. We know that Executive Order 202.1 expires on April 11. We expect that to be renewed, but counties are having board meetings around that, April 12th, 13th, that order not being renewed until the 15th. So we're trying to make sure the state could give us some indication about how they're going to renew the executive orders, and we're trying to get some clarification on that from the state. We know several of you have sent in questions on that. I want to shift gears right now and talk about the state budget, which is a very important financial plan that the state of New York, it's probably the most important thing that local elected officials will do, is their spending plan, their budgets, the taxation, and the same for the state. The state budget was enacted yesterday and today. I think that what we want to do now is go over what we know. I think that what we'll do is go through this budget presentation. And then what I want to do is I do have Mark Poloncarz on the line. He did send me a note, so he is with us here tonight. And I do want him to give a brief update on Erie County's efforts to combat the COVID-19, because it is one of the westernmost counties, and he has had a unique experience out there with an international border, a very large population, and how he's handled that, and in particular, the information he receives on hospitalization on a daily basis. He's put out a lot of social media. It's been very valuable and deterring behavior, and I do want to hear from Mark Poloncarz, and I think that it'll really be beneficial, but I want to make sure that he can go and give a presentation on that, a very quick presentation as soon as I'm done talking. But let me get through the budget and start with some of the things it does not include. The adopted budget does not include the executive's original Medicaid budget proposals to shift new costs to counties by intercepting the enhanced federal FMAP savings that counties currently receive under the Affordable Care Act. As you recall, as originally proposed, the county federal fiscal benefit would be capped, and those savings would have been transferred to the benefit of the state. And that proposal placed risk of hundreds of millions of dollars for the counties in the city of New York. The original budget proposal would have required the county to stay under the 2% property tax cap or lose state assistance from the state Medicaid cap. And three, the counties would have had to adhere to a local Medicaid growth share of 3% annually or pay the state back any amount over that amount. All of that has been rejected. In total, the counties in the city of New York would have been at risk of cost in excess of $1 billion. So it was a real win, and it was all because of your collective efforts that we were able to convince the governor, not the right time, understand why the governor did it. He had every right to advance a proposal to try to redesign the Medicaid program, but we're pleased to report that that proposal was taken off the table today. The state budget does accept, we're going to project for the first time tonight, the federal budget, or the state budget does accept, and we're going to project, the state is going to accept the enhanced FMAP program, which would now make the federal government 6.2% from the first federal stimulus package that was signed into law recently by the president. The state budget includes an appropriation of $25 billion in appropriation authority from the actions of the federal government. Senator Schumer's office has said that that EFMAP could provide as much as $6.7 billion in federal fiscal relief to the New York State counties and the city. The federal legislation says that the enhanced FMAP matching rate will be provided to states and the counties as long as the national public health emergency remains in place. So we're very pleased to report that all of the work that you've done together, all of the work that your staff here at NYSEC has worked together, both in Washington, D.C. with Senator Schumer and with Governor Cuomo, state legislature, we are projecting that that now will be included, which means the counties will benefit from this additional federal Medicaid money retroactive to January 1st of 2020. So a real shot in the arm at a time when we need it. The replaced language that was created when Part R was taken off the table is the budget includes a new fiscally distressed hospital and nursing home trust fund. And the budget creates a new fund to help fiscally distressed healthcare facilities that's partially funded through the diversion of county and New York City sales tax. The new law diverts $50 million in county sales tax and $200 million in New York City sales tax per year for 2 years, at which time the law is scheduled to sunset. The funds are diverted quarterly on January 15th, April 15th, July 15th, and October 15th. And the formula defined in the law would divert funds from each county based on their proportionate share of total sales tax collected outside New York City, multiplied by $50 million. We have a chart that will show you an initial estimate of what that first year of diversion will mean. And so we are, that was the replacement language when the Part R of the Medicaid was taken off the table. Some other highlights we've talked about last night. If the budget, the budget allows the budget director to adjust appropriations, including capital and operating aid, based on whether the financial plan is out of balance by more than 1%. So he does have broad authority to cut and reduce revenue to local governments, to school districts, to providers and hospitals and things of that nature. What that means for counties is when that state meets that threshold loss in revenue, the state will make cuts across the board, including reimbursement to counties for the range of programs we fund and provide at the local level. We estimate that state aid payments for local governments could be reduced by as much as 15% in state fiscal year 2021 if that governor's revenue shortfall projections of $15 billion are accurate. Possible restorations, we're monitoring the tax receipts in the state operating funds, and so we'll keep a close eye on that, how much federal aid comes in for the various fiscal years 2021, 21, 22, and so we'll keep an eye on that as well. Some other areas of importance, the lawmakers did roll out a budget bill that does amend the bail reform law. The changes do allow judges to set bail on charges for different crimes that were added back into and adding an ability for a judge to set bail. Various crimes were listed, and judges able to set bail on any crime that is alleged to have caused the death of another person, according to the legislation. E-scooters and electronic bikes are now legal. Cities, towns, and villages have the ability to further regulate speed, and cities, towns, and villages have the ability to prohibit the usage within the municipality. And so there was legislation done for electronic scooters and e-bikes. Community college-based funding was reduced by $31 million. The small cell proposal was rejected. There is no additional funding for early voting, so that was a one-time shot. Video lottery aid is restored. The budget includes $13 million for Code Blue. The budget includes a $1 million increase to summer youth employment. Raise the Age funding increased to $250 million. Cannabis legalization was rejected. The Sheriff County Jail, regional jails rejected. The CHIPS bidding threshold increased from $250,000 presently to $350,000. $65 million is added for extreme winter roads, and CHIPS funding is level from last year. The budget includes an additional amount of money for upstate transit, a 4% increase over last year. It includes $100 million for a second round of upstate airport revitalization, and all of our sales tax, mortgage recording taxes, and real estate transfer taxes were extended, and they will now expire at the year 2023, so November of 2023 for all of the existing home rule bills. The president enacting on a national update, the National Defense Production Act, requiring certain suppliers to help six companies, General Electric and Medtronic, a few of them, to secure supplies. So the president pulling the trigger on that order to include supplies to help various manufacturing companies make ventilators. He talked about using Walmart to ship directly to hospitals, and talked about other issues with respect to vaccines and the possibility of certain domestic travel restrictions to or from hotspots around the country. So what I want to do is stop there, and we'll go to Mark Poloncarz first from Erie County to give us an update. How are things going in Erie County?
Okay. Hi, Steve. Hello, everyone. I just want to thank NYSAC for the work that you've been doing, especially on the state budget. Earlier this year, we were focused on protecting our Medicaid amounts, and while we didn't get exactly everything we wanted, I think it's fair to say that some of the very, very bad provisions were stricken in the end. So I just want to thank everyone's participation in making that happen. We all did a lot of work, and I know it's been a crazy last few days in Albany. So just congratulations to NYSAC. Thank you for your good work of your staff, Stephen, Ryan, and the entire team. And that's on behalf of everybody here in Erie County. You're welcome. Like others, has been dealing with this for weeks now. It seems we were joking yesterday or the day before that we were entering the 1,000th day of March. March never seemed to end. We've all been working hard in each of the counties to address this, as we are the public health professionals on the ground. I feel for my friends downstate, not only in New York City, but those in Westchester, Nassau, and Suffolk, as they've had really been hit hard. The western part of the state was one of the last parts to actually get it, and so we actually think we'll be one of the last to actually get our peak. We have modeling that, depending on whether we flatten the curve or not, shows that this could continue for not just weeks, but months. I think the governor hinted at it at his press conference yesterday when he was talking about this going into the summer. I think we all understand that this is going to be a marathon, not a sprint. We are lucky to a degree that we have not been in the same situation as others, but today we announced that we have over 730 confirmed cases in Erie County. We've had 19 deaths directly attributable to COVID-19. We've had significant problems like others in getting tests done. My county is one of the few that actually have a public health lab. We were authorized very early to be able to perform tests on COVID-19. And our biggest problem wasn't the ability to do a test per se, because we had the lab to do it. It was the inability to be getting the swabs and samples and then enough reagent from the state to do this. It's been very discouraging for people to have the people criticize our inability to do mass tests for something that just a couple of months ago no one was testing for basically in the United States, and there was no test for it. But our crews are working very hard. We, as basically being the center of Western New York, have been doing testing for the other counties in Western New York. Their samples are being sent to our public health lab. We have been in concert with their health departments. I've talked to other county executives and county leaders from across not only Western New York, but New York State. I think we all know that we need to treat this as a marathon, not basically burn ourselves out early. So that means taking the time off, making certain the staff is taking time off. I've ordered staff to take days off because I'm afraid they're going to burn themselves out. We, like most others, are preparing for the worst and hoping for the best. We are waiting for back from New York State to hear if our proposal to turn our convention center into a COVID-19 ICU hospital would be accepted. We're working with the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers right now on the finalization of a plan, the design plan. The Corps will design it. FEMA would then come in and basically build it and take our convention center, which has a 64,000-square-foot exhibit hall, and turn it pretty much into a 1,000-bed COVID-19 ICU unit, which would not only be for Erie County, but for the surrounding counties. We are expecting to be getting patients in the long run from some of the rural counties where they may not have a hospital. They'll be coming to Erie County. So we are like everyone else. I've got a team that's working very hard. We are doing our best to ensure that the team does not burn out. While we are nowhere near as bad as they are downstate, I can't imagine exactly what they're dealing with based on the numbers and what we're dealing with up here. I'm hopeful that we will not see as high a number per capita as they've seen elsewhere, but we know that it's in every one of our towns. It's in all communities. If we do not reduce the spread of COVID-19, we will have tens of thousands of hospitalizations and thousands of deaths. And it's a scary number. I've got a number on my desk that is based on some modeling that I've not necessarily said publicly to the media, but I've hinted at it. And I don't think they're still getting it. They're still focused too much on testing. They're still focused on why can't you, if you test everyone, we'd be able to stop this, which, as we all know, is not the case. Testing only tells you if you're positive. The best way to do this is to follow the rules regarding community spread and just basically stay home, stop the spread. So if we can achieve what we hope will be continuing the flattening of the curve, we're going to be better, but it's still not going to be good. And to all my friends elsewhere, including those on Long Island and New York City and in Westchester County, I just are sending our deepest thoughts to you as you go through something that's really bad right now. And while we're not good, I at least feel that we are nowhere near as bad as they are downstate. So I just want to thank all my friends downstate in the Hudson Valley and the Mohawk valleys that have been dealing with something for a lot longer than we have. But it's getting worse here. We had I think we had about 130 new cases today. At one point, we were doubling every 2 days. Now we're doubling every 3 days, which is at least showing some flattening of the curve. But very soon we'll be over 1,000, and then we're expecting that number to significantly ramp up in the next 2 weeks. So I just want to thank all my fellow county representatives that are on the phone for the work they're doing in their home communities. We've got a great team here. I know you've got great teams elsewhere. Just the biggest thing I can say is make certain you're protecting that team. So if we are going to be dealing with this for not just weeks or months, that we're not losing those team members, because if we go down, it's going to have a huge impact on any community's ability to respond.
Mark Poloncarz, Erie County Executive, thank you very, very much for sharing all of that important information. Thank you for taking the time to join us this evening. Thanks, everybody, for another great call, and we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thank you for tuning into our podcast. If you have any questions for the NYSAC staff pertaining to COVID-19 or have any best practices to share with other counties in the state, please send them to coronavirus@nysac.org.